KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, we're here. He's James. I'm Kyle. Goose Brazil behind the glass. And we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you till noon. Everybody on the radio, hello, good morning, appreciate you. If you're on your drive in from work, maybe you're driving home from work, maybe you're out and about running errands because you don't work on Tuesdays, which sounds kind of fire. Appreciate y'all for listening. If you're on the free Odyssey app, thank you, hello, good morning, and of course, YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. If you'd love to come hang out with us there, please do so. The Chatty House is up and popping, as it always is in the mornings. And if you're listening to the James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show, the podcast version of this program, thank you, hello, hope the future's going well. And if you're not subscribed to the podcast, please do. Even if you don't plan on listening there, it just makes us look good when people subscribe. I'm going to be just pulling the curtain back.
Yeah.
Just the subscriber numbers going up makes us look good. Whether you listen or not, up to you.
We don't care.
Couldn't care less. As long as you're consuming the show in some way and also downloading the podcast.
That's right.
I guess we can talk about the Kings. I guess.
That was tough, Kyle. It was tough to sit there and watch it.
133-104 was the final. And it's not like blowouts happen sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, it's the same. I have the same feeling about it, not in all the same ways, about the Knicks loss that I did about the Clippers loss. Where if that Clippers loss happens in November, it's like, meh. Man, Kawhi made a big shot. You played pretty well. What were some of the takeaways? Whatever. But it's like, man, that's a devastating loss.
Mm-hmm.
And now it makes it so you have to bounce back against the Knicks. And I'm pretty sure I said on the radio yesterday, I wasn't worried about them being not competitive.
Yeah, but that's what they were. They were non-competitive.
From the opening tip.
Yeah.
I was talking to Joe before the show, and he's like, man, it felt like from the start, they were never there.
Weird thing was, too, it happened right in front of us, down below us, mm-hmm. like early in the first quarter, where they just kept letting the ball bounce on the court. Like, it would just sit there and bounce and bounce and bounce, and they're looking at each other. And then one point, like, it kept bouncing, and one of the Knicks, like, all right, you guys aren't going to go get it. He ran over and grabbed the ball, shoots a three, hits it. There's another play where they're just watching it bounce, 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 and it goes right out of bounds. It was just this, like, deer in a headlight, exhausted, can't move, can't react, not going to do basics moment. And it happened like three or four times in the first quarter where you're just like, oh, no, they just don't have it at all. Like, they aren't just slow to the ball. They just aren't moving at all. They're stuck in concrete.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a really, really weird, weird moment early in the game.
What were you going to say, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, it's after the first quarter, it was like halfway into the second, my grandpa looks at me, he goes, I'm going to bed.
Like, yeah, that's what that was last night.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
That was they've checked out, I'll check out.
Absolutely.
And I get a little bit, okay, they were on a back-to-back, okay, fine. But back-to-back happen all the time without losing by 30.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, 29, interest of accuracy. But what I think happened here is a perfect storm for a blowout, where the Knicks shoot 13 of 21 in the first quarter, 5 of 7 from 3, including Miles McBride going 5 of 5 from the field and 3 of 3 from beyond the arc and scoring 15 freaking points in the first quarter. Meanwhile, the Kings on the other side did nothing to combat it. They were 7 of 22 from the field,
mm-hmm.
3 of 9 from 3. They scored 22 points. They're down 15, and climbing uphill in an NBA game is already tough. Climbing uphill in an NBA game against a good team like the Knicks is also going to be tough. Doing that on the second night of a back-to-back, like, you have to expend so much energy to try and come back in that game. And they're doing this coming off a back-to-back where they played in overtime and had to expend a ton of energy trying to win that game. And so when they put themselves, and again, this is not an excuse. You have to come out and you have to play your games. But just the human side of this sets in. You're down 15 points. They're hitting everything. You're hitting nothing. It's like, bah. All right, not our night. And that was disappointing to see because I thought they were above that under Doug Christie. I didn't think we would see them have a game where they were just flat out. At no point did they make it competitive or interesting.
No, I think the only time that it was competitive at all was early in the game when it was just like everyone was stuck in mud.
Mm-hmm.
Like it did not have the feel of like an NBA game early on. And the Kings couldn't shoot at all, but they weren't down a bunch. Mm-hmm. And then right at the end of the first quarter,
5-0.
Yeah, but they were even like they were hovering. They were they had cut it to like 4 or 5. I mean, you look at the end of the first quarter, and that's where they got clubbed.
Yeah.
I mean, it just like the score jumped so quickly. Yeah, like at the 5:23 mark, with 5:23 left, the Kings were down 15-14.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's 37-22 in the last 5:30. That's what it finishes in the last 5 minutes of the quarter.
22-8 run.
Yeah. Like to end, how do you give up a 22-8 run in the final 5 minutes of a quarter?
Yeah,
as soon as they went to the bench, whatever the starters were doing, it just like translated right to the second unit. It's like they high-fived each other as they went off the court, and it just like, hey, we gave you the stink touch. Good luck out there.
It was so bad.
Yeah, and there's another thing. I see some people in the chat have said, oh, it's a schedule loss and stuff. Okay. There are such things as schedule losses in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to see next week, there's a schedule loss coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you play two of the best teams in the NBA back-to-back at home, and it's 3 games in 4 nights, and the fourth game is against, I think, OKC.
Mm-hmm.
That's a schedule loss, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe the Kings don't have a schedule loss. A schedule loss is when you play at home one night, and then you play the next night in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Or you play one other like East Coast game and you fly into Denver and you got to play that next night. That's a scheduled loss, right?
Right, where it's just like that's a really tough spot to play in.
Yeah. Last night's game was not a scheduled loss. What it was the game before you went for broke and you lost and you expended everything that you had. And so it's not a scheduled loss. It was a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And like whether you say it's a good choice or a bad choice, like their best bet was probably to do exactly what they did. Go for broke, try to get the win with the Clippers.
You needed to get one of the two.
Yeah, play everybody 45 minutes and see if you can get a win. That to me is a difference. So this was not a scheduled loss. If you look at the calendar, a game in LA and the next night, a game at home, especially a 6:30 start in LA one night, a 7:30 start the next night in Sacramento, that shouldn't have been that bad. And, you know, like Doug said it multiple times last night, that's not us. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I hope that that's not who you guys are, because that would make the last 18, 19 games of the season really, really sad. you know, but it's possible. It is.
It's the spot that matters here. It's not them. I'm inclined to believe him when Doug Christie says that's not us, because we've seen them be largely much more competitive than that.
Of course.
So I'm inclined to believe him. In fact, I think when they play Thursday against Golden State, I think they're going to play really well, because I think this is a team that's going to bounce back in that way with 3 days off. But 2 days off? 2 days off. But you don't... I understand the idea of a schedule loss, and I get it. I understand it. Like, my brain is wrapped around it. You have 18 basketball games left.
Yeah.
You are now 3.5 back of the number 6 seed. You're just running out of time. And so this excuse of, I don't want to say excuse, I'm not trying to attack the idea of a schedule off, but it just doesn't play for me.
Mm-hmm.
The urgency is so high every single game. We've been making the joke for like 2 weeks now. Oh, biggest game of the year coming up. A huge game coming up. Like, they're all going to be big coming up.
Yeah.
So you can't go into you can't be uncompetitive in a game at this point of the year, especially after you just lost. And I get that it was a tough loss. It was OT. It was on the road. It's the second night of a back-to-back. I understand all those stipulations. I would feel it's not the
it's just how poorly they played.
Yes.
And how it was not just this gradual, it was from the off the rip, like, oh, this game is over. They have no chance. Against a Knicks team that didn't have its best player.
Yeah.
It just
you got bullied too. I mean, that was the other thing. There's something interesting that Doug's been doing. You know, the front in the locker room, there's a giant TV, there's whiteboards all over the place. Mm-hmm. Way up high. He has to use a step stool to get up there. Way up high on the top, there's a whiteboard, and Doug writes a couple of letters there every day, and they stand for something. And Sean Cunningham usually like grabs them and tweets them out. Like, what do people think, mm-hmm. you know, tonight's message is? And last night's message was ZE, and it stood for zero excuses.
Well,
and that's so when you walk into that game and you, if they're going in with zero excuses and they walk out of it looking like that, you got to take it at face value. You just didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to say second night of a back to back. We're not, you did this or that. You're getting used to Malik Monk being back in the starting lineup for some reason. You know, all of these things. No, you went out and you got punked.
That's it.
You let OG Anunoby like literally just push you right to the basket
every time.
They had so many jailbreak inline drives mm-hmm. for dunks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was just such a poor performance where everybody was a step slow. Everybody looked like they weren't engaged from, mm-hmm. you know, even like the wide open looks from three that they got. They had them. They had the looks that they were supposed to get. And, you know, like, we'll piece it, you know, we'll break it down in six quick thoughts later. But you can't have a guy like Zach LaVine go out and take 10 shots, especially when Domantas Sabonis is out of the game. Doesn't you know, it isn't playing. So these are things that, like, the team has to pick up on and go, okay, look, we've got to play to our strengths. And last night they just didn't.
Yep. He's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil's pushing buttons and doing a bunch of stuff. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And we're hanging out with you until noon on this very radio station. Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee tweeted this last night. The Kings are 12-21 against teams above 500. Which is worse than every team in the top 10 of the West, except the 10 seed Mavs at 13-24. The Kings are 21-10 versus teams below 500. The reason that matters is because that's a trend.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're trying to, because the lens I'm viewing this through is like, okay, hey, the Kings are trying to make the playoffs. It's clearly what they're trying to do. So what does that path look like? And that paints a pretty damning picture of where the Kings are.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 12-21 against teams above 500, which are playoff teams, that's a really, really tough look. And separating from the blowout of it all last night, because the Knicks have now blown you out twice. Separating the score itself from it, what we saw last night was just the continuation of this trend that has been a problem for the Kings all year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another place where I can't get with the schedule loss thing, because I have no reason to give the Kings the benefit of the doubt that they would have beat the Knicks on 2 days rest.
It sure didn't look like it. It didn't look like they would have beat many teams last night. And like, again, There are reasons and there are excuses. Like, zero excuses, one thing. Like, the reason why they were a step slow to the ball is because they played huge minutes. A lot of their starters played huge, huge minutes the night before.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody played huge minutes. And
Malik Monk sure didn't.
Yeah, Malik Monk didn't. And, you know, Trey Lyles didn't play big minutes and was all over the place. Like, they didn't have Jake LaRavia, but again, you can't... Like, Jake LaRavia is a role player. Like, you've got to be able to have a next man up mentality.
Totally.
Yeah. And there's some interesting stuff, too. Like, I thought, you know, again, the Isaac Jones minutes were huge. And we talked about this before we came on the show. Since Doug Christie took over, Isaac Jones hasn't played at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, he's played, you know, that was the eighth game he's played in out of Doug's, 33 games as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the reasoning is for that. I know they are up against it when it comes to how many games he has left of eligibility to play.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like, that is an energy player that in games like that last night where you need a boost, and you don't just need a boost from a guard, you need a boost from a big.
Mm-hmm.
You've had that on the bench, and I get it. Again, he's up against it when it comes to games played on his two-way.
Mm-hmm.
But the Kings still have an open roster spot. And, like, they easily could sign Isaac Jones tomorrow. I don't know exactly what their salary cap number is, but I still think that they have enough under the cap to go and do something. So,
especially because converting that now would not be expensive.
No, it would be, you know, $500,000 or something, $400,000.
And isn't it prorated?
Yeah, it's prorated, and it's $1.6 million rookie scale deal, but it's prorated for, you know, whatever games are left.
Right.
Yeah, so it'd be $400,000 or $500,000.
Yeah. I don't know, man. We're going to put a pin in the Kings stuff briefly because a ton of NFL news happened yesterday. Is it time to hit the panic button in San Francisco? Is the teardown and rebuild happening? We'll tell you next, and then we're diving back into the Sacramento Kings as well. That's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil is going to send us to break here on The Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Theater.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Aftershock is coming to Sacramento. The lineup this year is unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a buzz.
Thursday, I had a mutual media friend of ours come up to me. Hadn't seen him in a while. Dap each other up, say hey. And he just immediately goes, hey, you guys do Aftershock, right? Like, yes. He's like, have you seen the lineup for Thursday? Can you get tickets? Like, I don't know, man. Here's how you can get tickets right now, though. We're giving some away. And as Joe Brazil made the point earlier, our producer, they're giving them away on, like, rock stations and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, people go to win them. So this is a good space to try and win tickets to Aftershock. So what we're doing, we've got five people. We'll win a pair of general admission weekend passes to Aftershock 2025. All you have to do is enter on the ESPN 1320 contest page for a chance to win. You could go to Aftershock 2025 as a guest of ESPN 1320 and Danny Wimmer Presents. I've never been to Aftershock. I might have to go this year. Might be the move.
You're coming with me this year.
All right. We're going with Joe. I'm going to go hang out with the young people.
Both of you guys are coming with me this year. All-American Rejects?
I'll bring my walker.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to know. Like, that's the thing is last year's Aftershock was apparently a great time.
Yeah.
I didn't go.
Yeah.
But when I was looking at the lineup, I'm not familiar enough. Like, I know who the bands are.
Yeah.
But I'm not familiar enough with it. There are so many of these bands this year where I'm like, oh, I'm going to know some songs.
Yeah, they went younger this year.
I'm going to go yell Blink-182 lyrics with some 22-year-olds. I can't wait.
Like you mentioned, it's like the Warped Tour, kind of what they missed on that. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Can't wait.
I'm intrigued. I might go on that Thursday. I might go on that Thursday.
Yes. The Insiders in the mosh pits? What's going on?
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, man.
Let's go.
Bring my pointy elbows. Go. Sharpen the elbows before we get out there.
I'm going to be in there drawing charges.
Oh, just yeah.
Moving my feet, defending with my chest.
Just, and one.
Well, yeah. Defend with your chest, Kyle. Defend with your chest.
I'm Kyle. He's James. Joe's over there in the other room. Day one of the legal negotiating window in the NFL was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to make sure that I'm covering all the bases here. I think the freak out over the 49ers' first day of the legal negotiating window is insane. They didn't... I left yet. Did it... Was it painful for a fan? Like, 100%. Like, Kyle Juszczyk getting released and Dre Greenlaw signing with the Broncos and Talanoa Hufanga signing with the Broncos, and you see Aaron Banks getting all this money, which is insane, by the way. 4 years, $77 million American dollars for Aaron Banks is nuts. He's an okay player.
Every single 49er that left, from my point of view, was like, oh my gosh, they got overpaid grotesquely.
Yeah, the only one who didn't is Greenlaw. 3 and 35 is a pretty reasonable deal. I haven't seen the guarantees or the structure on it or anything, but that's a player that they really wanted back, mm-hmm. and they didn't get him. But also, he might give you 8 games this year. You have no idea what his health status is because he just came back from an Achilles injury, and then he only played one half and then 5 snaps because of a knee injury and then a calf injury.
Yeah,
and then they shut him down for the year. So he's a big question mark. And are they going to miss Dre Greenlaw? Like 1,000%. He's going to be the most difficult player to replace. But they have been forecasting this and telling you that all of this was going to happen. When they drafted Ricky Pearsall in the first round last year, that was a signal that, like, yeah, hey, this super expensive receiver room is not going to be the same receiver room moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Javon Hargrave signing with the Vikings today, they signaled at their end of season press conference when they restructured his contract to make it cheaper to release him this year. John Lynch said, like, yeah, hey, he's going to be a post-June 1 cut. We hope to bring him back, but we think the market's going to be big, and it has been for defensive tackles, by the way, but that's a separate question.
Yep.
Talanoa Hufanga, they've been drafting safeties the last 2 years.
And he hasn't been good since 2022.
He's right. He's an okay player.
Yeah, and even Kyle Juszczyk, I know he's like a great 49er, and he's made it to, what, 8, 9 Pro Bowls, right? Yeah,
8 straight.
He's
9 straight.
He's almost 34.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could bring him back as a coach. I mean, realistically, you could bring him back as a coach. Like, why not? Like, have him be part of your running backs room. But, like, if he wants to keep playing, okay. But, I mean, like, you don't get to play forever.
Right.
Yeah.
The other one, Treverius Ward. Treverius Ward told everybody at his locker cleanout, I went through so much personal trauma here. I don't ever want to go to the San Jose airport again. I don't want to be in this state anymore. Mm-hmm. Because of what I went through personally. His 1-year-old daughter died. And he went, where I went through all this, I would like to not be there anymore. And so he signs with the Colts.
Totally get it.
1,000%.
And he got paid as well.
And he got cashed out. The 49ers are not in a spot. And this is not about, look, this is not me doing the, like, I'm going to stand in front of ownership thing. If the 49ers had come out and said, like, we're going to spend less cash, we're going to curtail our cash spending. That's what the Cowboys do, by the way. The Dallas Cowboys, the most valuable franchise in American sports, is always at the bottom of the league in cash spending. That's
crazy.
The issue the 49ers are running into is they don't have a quarterback on an affordable contract anymore. They're not going to. So they're redoing how they're doing these contracts because they don't want to sign Jonathan Allen, a 30-year-old defensive tackle, to a 3-year, $60 million deal where they might have to wind up pushing money into the future where now all of a sudden they have this huge dead cap figure, which they do this year, more than $70 million of their salary cap is going to players who don't play for their team.
That's tough.
Right. And so they're trying to avoid that in a scenario when they're going to have a quarterback making a sizable portion of the salary cap. That's just team building. They still have Fred Warner, high-priced player. They still have Nick Bosa, high-priced player. They still have Christian McCaffrey, high-priced player. They still have George Kittle, high-priced player. They still have Brandon Ayuk, high-priced player. They still signed Diamador Lenore to a extension. Granted, it was way more reasonable than I thought he was going to get, but they signed into an extension. They still have Trent Williams, high-priced player.
Yeah.
Like, they still have all this expensive talent. Just at some point, if you're going to regroup and you're going to rebuild, and the 49ers are trying to do this on the fly while staying competitive, you have to start hitting on draft picks, which is something they didn't do in 21. They did it in 22 with Brock Purdy, but really nowhere else. And then the 2023 draft, it does not look like it's going to bear a ton of fruit either. So they need to hit on draft picks. And everybody's telling me, when I say, like, this is kind of their goal, I get hit with, yeah, but what if the draft picks are bad? Yeah, then they're going to be bad. The team isn't going to be very good. If Brock Purdy stinks, the team isn't going to be very good. Like, there's a gamble here for sure, but this is the reality of having as many high-priced players as they do and then throwing a sizable quarterback contract on top of it. At some point, you need to reload with draft picks, and you need those draft picks to be good. You need to reload with affordable free agent signings, and that's what they're doing. Whether it works or not, I can't tell you. But this is not some, like, oh my God, Jed York shut the faucet off and said, you're not spending any money. Like, no, they're trying to be smart about the salary cap.
It feels like they've botched so many drafts over the last 5 years that that's where their talent is fading.
That's it, dude. Yes.
And if you can't take advantage of the draft, you cannot squander first round picks on bad kickers. Not first round picks, but third round picks or fourth round picks. You can't, you know, go out and keep drafting bad wide receivers that don't make your team and can't, you know, function. And 2 years in, they're gone. Bad running backs. Like, how many times in the middle rounds have they made those mistakes where they hit gold is when they're drafting linebackers and interior linemen with those picks, but they just keep wasting them. Yeah. On specialty players that do not pan out. So I'm intrigued to see how they build this thing at this point. I think that they can get a really, really nice pick with, you know, number 11. They probably can fill a starter starting position one that can help your team, whether it's a defensive tackle, whether it's an offensive guard, whatever it is. But, man, they have so many holes to fill at this point, and you just can't miss with this draft.
To your point, the 2021 draft, they selected 8 players in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is currently on the team.
Brock Purdy?
Diamador Lenore.
Oh, Lenore.
Purdy was the next year.
Okay.
But Trey Lance, disaster. The only reason John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan didn't get fired for the Trey Lance thing is because they fell into Brock Purdy.
Of course.
That's it. They would be gone. Anyways, Aaron Banks got paid out, got cashed out. Trey Sermon, cut early. Ambry Thomas, cut before his rookie contract was over. Jalen Moore got cashed out by the Chiefs. That's insane.
Weird.
Hufanga cashed out by the Broncos, and Elijah Mitchell was gone anyway. He signed
went to the Chiefs.
The 2022 draft, here are the players who are still on the roster. Drake Jackson, not a contributor.
Precariously on the roster. All the time. On the roster.
Spencer Burford, now a backup. Might start at left guard this year, but a backup offensive lineman. Nick Zakel, backup offensive lineman. Kalia Davis, barely a rotational defensive lineman. And then Brock Purdy.
Mm.
2023, Jair Brown, maybe your starting safety, maybe not. He was up and down last year. Jake Moody, disaster. Cameron Latu, not on the team. Darrell Luter, backup special teams guy. Robert Beal, not a good defensive end. D. Winters, might start at linebacker, maybe, TBD. Braden Willis, special teams guy. Ronnie Bell, not on the team anymore. Jalen Graham has been cut, but now he's back, and he's a special teams guy. That's our 2021 through 2023 drafts.
Yeah, it's just not enough, man.
Go ahead, sorry.
What, do they have like 3 starters total out of all of that?
Maybe. Are we including Jake Moody?
No, because I don't think that's going to happen.
They say he's going to stick around. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Jair Brown is, I'll call him a starter.
Okay. Brock Purdy.
Purdy's a starter. Lenore's a starter. That's 3. Okay. 3 and 3 drafts. You can't have that.
No.
Not when your roster's this expensive.
Well, not in, also when you probably had, 25, 26 picks in those 3 drafts combined.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's not like they had their 2020 draft. They had like 5 picks. It's not been that. They've had 8 plus in all those drafts.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't been good enough. And keep in mind, when I say spending less, I mean like against the cap. I don't give a damn about Jed York's pockets. Like, they're going to spend money. They print money.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a salary cap to work under. You said TC still around? Let's get to TC. He wants to talk about Brock Purdy and the Niners. What's up, TC? What up, TC?
What's up, bro? Hey, that was a heart. Hey, we're not heartbreaking, bro. It was just the Knicks, man. Something about the Knicks, bro. We gotta figure something out here with them dudes, bro. Like, some type of defensive scheme or something, but we just got to figure the Knicks out. I'm not going to overreact off of that. The Kings will be fine, bro. We just got to settle in. Hopefully, we can get 7-8. If not, bro, we're going to be number 9, and we got to make noise that way. We can't be afraid of the play-in because that's where we at right now. Kings, man. Kings players, media. We just got to run in and get in how we get and fight hard. That's where we at. As far as Brock Purdy, Kyle, and him, that Sam Darnold contract, bro, that's more than enough for that dude. That's where I'm at. He should have accepted the 45. I'm giving that dude 35 a year, bro, on a 3-year deal. That's $105 million. Take it or leave it, bro. I like what Jay York is doing right now. Him and Lynch taking all the reins away from Kyle and saying, Kyle, this is it, dude. the players that we draft and bring in here, if you a real coach, then you gonna coach these dudes. If not, bro, we got another losing season, you're out of here. So I'm all for it, bro. I like the move that Jed is doing right now with Rich. But 35 a year for a 3-year deal for Brock, bro, that's my deal I'm giving him. I'm not giving him 60, 70, 50, any of that.
All right, thanks, TC. So now it's not Kyle Shanahan. Got it. Okay. No, I need to. Right. Okay. We're moving goalposts. Okay. Cool. No. For sure.
That was some super, next level.
We're just goalpost being super movie. Disingenuous with it. Got it. All right. Nice.
Just God, move the dude. Move them their goalposts.
No. Yeah. I don't necessarily disagree on the Purdy thing. We say this all the time with NFL contracts, though, like the guarantees are what's going to matter. Brock Purdy could sign a 10-year, $900 million deal. But if $100 million of that is guaranteed, it can look like a 3-year, $30-ish million deal. And that's where I think this is going to wind up landing. The numbers will be inflated where it looks like something in the $50 to $55 million range.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get down into the nitty gritty of it, you're probably looking at like, yeah, it's like a 3-year commitment. It's this year, then 2 years, and then they've got an out after year two or year three.
Yeah.
That's how I think this is going to wind up going. And the guarantees will land in the 100 or 120 range or something like that. And we'll all move forward.
Yeah. They have to get it done. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
We do have this breaking news. You want to go ahead with that?
Yeah. ESPN's Adam Schefter says the 49ers are releasing Leonard Floyd. I have to get the numbers on this. I don't know how much they're saving.
Yeah, Leonard Floyd, 8.5 sacks last year. But it sort of sound like maybe they've got Joey Bosa. Maybe there's a potential there for him to join the squad. And if he did, that would open a... You need not only the salary, but also sort of that position open. Although it would have been nice to have Leonard Floyd still on the roster.
Yeah, so this is a... Hang on 1 second. There we go. All right, we're multitasking. This is one of those, like, if you can keep Leonard Floyd as a rotational edge rusher, you feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't great last year. He was absent in a lot of games. This is another $8.6 million dead cap hit for the 49ers.
How much?
$8.6 million.
Oof.
They save $1.4. But again, what you're seeing is, and I think this is what's happening. They know Brock Purdy's contract is going to be some amount of money. They're, I think, trying to stack their dead cap this year and just accelerate all the dead cap to now.
Okay.
Instead of... spreading it out over the next couple of years,
mm-hmm.
where, okay, it costs $8.6 million in dead cap to cut Leonard Floyd this year. And again, that doesn't cost additional. He was going to count $10 million against the cap. Now he costs $8.6 million against the cap.
Okay.
And they save $1.4-ish.
$1.4-ish seems like not very much.
No, but...
If you don't cut him, what happens?
Then he's on the team and now you're going to have dead cap next year.
Okay.
And so this is, I think what they're doing, is just getting all of this out of the way now where, yep, there's going to be dead cap on all these deals because of the way they structure them. There's going to be a little bit, but they're just accelerating the big numbers now. That's like, I think what's happening.
Okay.
Because they know they have to get younger with draft picks. And they know that Brock Purdy's contract is going to be expensive. So instead of trying to figure all that out with an expensive contract, they know he's going to make 5.1 this year. His cap hit's still going to be low in 2025. And so they'll eat the dead cap now.
Okay.
I think that's what's happening. Oh my gosh. That went quick. I'm just not panicking. There's nothing that's happened that makes me think more or less of the 49ers' chances to win the Super Bowl. I don't think they're a contender today. I didn't think they were a contender yesterday. I don't think they're less of a... I don't think they've fallen at all, really.
They're in the same range they were before.
Yeah, yeah. Their season was always going to come down to who did they draft, what free agents did they go get at on cost-effective deals? Mm-hmm. And can those players be effective? And can Brock Purdy be good? Those are the questions that are going to determine whether the 49ers are worth a damn this year or not. It's not whether they went and gave an outsized deal to Jonathan Allen to play defensive tackle for them.
Yeah.
Anyways. Maybe they stink. And they might. But not freaking out just yet. We'll have some more NFL news. We'll take a look around the NBA last night. The Kings continue falling in the standings. We'll give you an update on where they're at and what happened last night. Not a good night for the Kings overall, especially on the scoreboard. We'll get to that coming up next. He's James. I'm Kyle. That's Joe. We're the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, Drew, don't do that. That's not funny. That's James. I'm Kyle. He's Joe. The 49ers, real quick, did make a signing today. They signed Richie Grant, safety from the Falcons. He might play.
Mm-hmm.
They signed Luke Farrell, a tight end, who might be the new fullback. I don't know. Anyways, tough night for the Kings last night, not only on their own scoreboard, but also on the rest of them. So, while the Kings lose their second in a row, Golden State beat the Blazers 130-120. I had two takeaways from this game. One, Golden State's now 12-2 since the trade deadline.
That's crazy.
The bigger takeaway for me, the Blazers are going to be a freaking problem really soon.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Chauncey Billups is doing a really nice job. Okay. They're a couple pieces away for sure. And I don't think they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna be like the Rockets next year, where they're just firmly in the mix. But I think over the next couple of years, I think there's a chance the Blazers are really, really good. I like what they're doing a lot.
Okay.
They seem to have an idea of their identity and what they want to be. They just don't have the dudes right now.
It's funny because they've got a lot of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not like they're a cheap roster.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a bunch of veterans. You know, like the Denny Avia trade, you know, they gave up a lot
in
that deal.
He cooked last night, by the way. 34-17, I think, he finished with.
Yeah,
34-16-6.
Okay. Man, they have a lot of guys averaging in double figures, but no true number one.
Right.
And, you know, again, Jeremy Grant's down to 14.4 points per game this season.
Didn't even play last night.
Yeah, and Shaedon Sharpe, I really like Shaedon Sharpe's talent, but he does get hurt so often. Yeah, mm-hmm. They've got an interesting roster. They've got tons of talent, but again, they've got kind of a group of like square pegs and round holes type guys.
Yeah,
like the DeAndre Jordan and
didn't play last night.
Yeah, and again, Jeremy Grant just doesn't fit their long term roster makeup.
Yeah, I am a fan of what they're doing. Then the Rockets, the 5 seed. I'm taking the Rockets back off the board, by the way. We just got to get the Kings back up to 6.
Oh, yeah.
No worried about 5 anymore. But the Rockets beat the Magic 97-84. Houston, surprisingly, they had lost 10 of 15. They've now won 3 in a row as they've played the Pelicans twice in Orlando. And coming up, they have Phoenix, Dallas, Chicago, Philly, Orlando, Miami.
Oh.
That 5 seed's going to start to get really out of reach.
Yeah, they're back.
Yeah. The Grizzlies beat the Suns 120-118. Hey, man. I know the Suns are probably done this offseason anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kevin Durant's probably gone, and they're resetting some stuff, or as much as they can. If they don't wind up making the 10 seed with Dallas as beat to hell as they are, that would be a really, really tough look for Phoenix. Especially since Dallas beat the Spurs last night 133-129. So Dallas wins, Suns lose. The Suns lost a full game on the 10 seed last night.
Oh, no.
That's rough.
How's that even possible?
Because the Spurs are inexplicably horrible. They are so bad. It doesn't help that De'Aaron Fox has been dreadful. over the really since Victor Wembanyama's gone out.
Yeah.
So most of his time there in San Antonio. But they are, it is unbelievable how bad they are.
I just can't, how is Phoenix just like, I mean, the 10th seed is just there.
It's there. And you just go, and granted, they lost to the Grizzlies by two.
But in
a spot where just, you got to start racking up some wins, man.
I also heard Dallas because I was reading, because, you know, they're at the hard cap, right? Mm-hmm. They can't add anybody else. Right, the only thing they can really do right now, they can't even really sign 10-day contracts anymore. The only thing they can do is, like, use their two ways.
Mm-hmm.
And sign different guys to two ways. But again, you eventually run out of those because each of those two ways are only good for 50 games. And that's, it's like the roster spot is only good for two games, not the one player is only good for 50 games. Got me? So it becomes like really complex, right?
Yeah.
They, and then it looks like Anthony Davis and Derek Lively both haven't been ruled out for the season. And because they haven't been ruled out for the season, you can't apply for an injury
hardship.
Oh. And so they're stuck. And this really weird situation where they can't do anything. Even Daniel Gafford hasn't been ruled out for the season. So eventually you're going to have to just play. The other night they had eight guys on the bench and then two guys bonked heads. Both had to go in and get stitches. And then another guy pulled his hamstring. And it got to the point where through most of the fourth quarter, they had five available players who were all on the court. And then Kessler Edwards came back out. Kessler Edwards is like your savior. He comes back out after getting stitches and can play in the final 6 minutes, but that's where they're at as a franchise, and they're still a game and a half up on the Suns. That's crazy talk. At least the Kings might get to play them in the play-in.
Whoever you get in the 9-10, you're going to feel pretty good about. The game high in that Mavs-Spurs game, Mavs 133, Spurs 129. Game high score, Harrison Barnes, 29 points.
Ooh.
Game high in rebounds, Kessler Edwards, 11.
It's like Kings everywhere.
And then the Nuggets beat the Thunder 140 to 127. So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to win the MVP.
Most likely.
Because when the larger NBA media kind of just starts saying that, because he had a big game the other night when the Thunder beat the Nuggets. He had 40. And everybody's like, oh, it's over. It was never close. It shouldn't be close. Shai's the MVP. His team is so much better. Da da da. Like, all right, bet. Like, okay. Like, I'll accept that. The Nuggets beat the Thunder 140 to 127 last night, and Jokic went 35-18-8.
Yeah.
He's the best player in the league. He's not going to win MVP, but Jokic is just so very clearly the best player in the sport.
You know, it's funny. We had a discussion at the dinner table last night mm-hmm. with a bunch of media people. Mm-hmm. And
any voters?
Yes.
Okay.
One.
Okay.
I think one, just one.
Okay.
But we went around the table, and the one voter said it's Jokic. And said, you know, like their reasoning was very clear that, like, you probably, hindsight now, he should be a four straight.
Yeah,
like the Embiid one, you didn't give it to him that year because he hadn't won a title. Then he went and won a title,
mm-hmm.
and now you kind of feel like, okay, well, we held him to that standard, but you never held Embiid to that standard,
right?
And he was, you know, like the stats said that they were very close, but that Jokic was a better player. The head-to-head, though, Embiid buried him in a head-to-head matchup,
mm-hmm.
and so it kind of swayed people late in the season,
right?
But still, it's like, are you looking at his stats? Like, his stats are, they're bonkers.
They're insane.
28.9 points, 13 rebounds, 10.5 assists. Not only that, he's shooting 57.7% from the field and 43% from three. Like, his advanced numbers this year alone are some of the greatest advanced numbers we'll ever see, that we have ever seen in the game. They're better than almost every one of his MVP years. It's just crazy how impactful he is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's Shai's to lose. And I don't think Shai is capable of being bad enough for long enough to trick it off here over the next 20 or so games.
Yeah.
So, I think it's his award, but man, Jokic is quite a freaking player. So, here's where things stand. The Rockets are the 5 seed, Warriors 6, The Timberwolves are 7, a half game back of number 6. The Clippers are 8, a game and a half back of 6. The Kings are now 3.5 games back of the 6 seed. That's something we didn't take into account when everything was all jumbled up there, and 6 through 9 were separated by like a game. And we went, man, you win a couple and you're going to be right there. We didn't take into account that if you lose a couple, you're going to fall off really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden they're 3.5 back. And it's not like they've been playing horribly.
No, it just...
They had a really bad game last night, a tough loss the night before, and nope, 3.5 back.
Oof.
It's really rough. It's not over, though.
No.
Get back in the saddle. Go win some. And the Mavs, 4.5 back of 6. Game back of the Kings. Be shocked if the Mavs are anything higher than the 10 seed.
I'd be shocked if they're the 10 seed, but if they're higher than the 10 seed, then something horrible happened.
If they wind up landing the 10 seed, if they hold off Phoenix, or if they get anything higher than 10, I'm stumping for Jason Kidd to be the coach of the year.
Yeah, that would be wild to literally make it to the playoffs with 8 players or something.
That would be amazing.
It's wild.
It would be, I would love, it would end very quickly, but I would love to see the Mavs go to the playoffs.
Oh, no. I would love to see them. Like,
after all, here's all the awful things that have happened. They're like, yeah, hey, here's the 8-1 matchup.
But then watch, like, the week before the playoffs, AD and Lively show up and somehow they shock. They beat the Kings in the 9-10 matchup. You're like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, that'd be so annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That'd be so
annoying.
I don't want this anymore. That's way less fun. That's not a fun scenario. All right, we got a whole second hour to do. We'll have more Kings, we'll have more NFL. This is the NFL offseason churns along. The NFL regular season winds down. We'll have 6 quick thoughts. We'll get back into the Kings game from last night. James Hamm, 6 quick thoughts. It's coming up next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James, he's Joe, I'm Kyle. And we're on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
Back in the loss column in Underdog Daily Fantasy for your boy last night. I've got basketball takes. That means I'm playing their pick'em game. You just pick 2 or more plays. You pick higher or lower on those player stats. And last night, Keegan Murray higher than 2.5 3-pointers made. Nah, didn't hit. Karl Anthony Towns, higher than 42.5 points, rebounds, assists. Nah, didn't hit. Zach LaVine, I thought Zach LaVine was going to go off last night. He did not. 26.5 points higher. Nope, he had 15. And then Deuce McBride, I had higher than 12.5 points. He had 15 in the first quarter. So salute to Deuce McBride. He came through for me. Unfortunately, the lineup was a loss. But you know, I'm going to be back on the horse tonight because I'm constantly putting in lineups with Underdog. They have all your favorite teams, all your favorite sports. You can cross-match sports with your lineups. It's always a ton of fun. So download the Underdog app and sign up now using promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus credit when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today to get up to $1,000 in bonus credit instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil is pushing buttons. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. We are taking you up to noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock. I'm sure D'Lo and Casey are going to be talking a lot about that Kings-Knicks game last night. Can't wait to get their thoughts on it. But you know what else I can't wait to get is James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts on the Kings' 133-104 loss to the New York Knicks last night.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Not
Kings
great.
Insider James Hamm has 6 notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts.
Yesterday's Kings game go? Why you got to bring up old stuff, voice guy? James Hamm, 6 quick thoughts. I can't do this the same way anymore. I'm going to have to vamp for a second until I can do this. Number one.
There we go. Malik Monk returned. He went 1 of 7 from the field to start and just looked a little off, a little out of sync. But then he finished with 21 points and 3 assists. After the game, he talked about what he learned while he was out, and that was that he needed to sacrifice a little bit of his scoring and go out and set up his teammates a little bit more. I'm not sure if what he said and what he meant were the same thing. He led the Kings with 18 field goal attempts and finished the game with 3 assists. But, you know.
I learned I have to get my teammates more involved. I'm going to lead the team in shots by a lot tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny. I thought you were saying when you wrote this that he said after the game that he can't have another game like that.
No, he was talking about like the things that he learned.
That was reflection he did before returning.
Yeah, the things that he learned while he was, you know, and how he was, because I think I asked him, you know, like, what has he got to do? You know, he's watched this team and they've had some success while he's been out. How does he add his flavor to the game into what's already happening? And that was one of his answers. So, yeah.
I'm interested to see how he pairs that with, or if he's not how, but if he's able to take that role on and ensure that Zach LaVine isn't having another night where he takes 10 shots.
Yeah, to me, I mean, like, we're going to get into these, like, there are too many things that, you know, that right. went wrong in that game. And they need Malik Monk to become a distributor. They need him to average, let's say, 8 assists a game from here on out.
Yeah, if that's going to be the whole thing, is like, hey, he's your only point guard, cool, then go be that.
He can score 18, he can score 20, he can go for 30 on a given night.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he needs to average 8 assists a game. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that the number has to be there, it's that he has to play the point guard position.
Yes.
He has to bring the ball up. He needs to get the team in the offense. He needs to direct traffic. If Zach LaVine is on the wrong side of the court and getting in his way, he needs to tell Zach LaVine to get over on the other side. He needs to get in the two-man game with Domas. He needs to get the pick and roll going. Then he needs to set up Keegan Murray for a couple mm-hmm. of open threes in the corner. Then he needs to feed LaVine for a couple of plays. Mm-hmm. And then he needs to hand the ball to DeMar DeRozan for a couple of ISOs. Like all of these things need to happen, but it has to be one person who is saying, I'm going to organize everything and I got you.
Yep.
And that's really, I think, where he has to learn the point guard position, how to organize, how to not just be a straight hooper and mm-hmm. how to be a game manager of sorts yep. in certain situations.
Yep. We were just talking about Zach LaVine, number two.
Yeah, Zach LaVine, you just need more Zach LaVine. Like, he's playing so well offensively right now that you can't go through a game where he goes 5 of 10 from the field.
Mm-hmm.
That it's the 10. Like, he shot 50% from the field. He hit a couple of threes. But you can't have him scoring 17 points when you're struggling offensively. And he can't take 10 shots. There just can't be a game where he's taking, you know, 10 shots. Like, at a minimum, 16, 17.
Yep.
And he can go up from there depending on mm-hmm. efficiency, but that's where it has to start.
Yep. I'm there, man. The whole point of having Zach LaVine is that he's really freaking good at putting the ball in the hoop.
Mm-hmm.
So let him have opportunities to do that. It's not like he was 1 of 10. He's 5 of 10.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing.
Weird. Number three.
Number three, another double-double. Valanciunas, which I, of course, spelled his name wrong. And I also, in six quick thoughts, I switched his points and rebounds.
That's fine.
He had 10 points and 13 rebounds. This is his third double-double in 5 starts filling in for Domas.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but he's averaging like roughly like 14 points, 11 rebounds, and like 4 assists. Like, he's been really good, but you can also see some of the deficiencies and why he isn't.
My man cannot defend in space.
Cannot defend in space.
Holy
at all.
Holy smokes.
No. So that was like one of my concerns yesterday. Yeah. It was like, who's going to defend Cat?
Yep.
And in the second half, you know what they did? They sent Keegan at Cat, and Valanciunas was on Josh Hart. That's what
they
did.
They were just going to leave Josh Hart open as much as he wanted.
Yeah. And Josh Hart hit a couple of threes. One thing Josh Hart didn't do is kill you on the glass, which he typically does.
Yeah.
But that's part of the problem. We saw it early on where Valanciunas got pulled away from the basket to defend Cat. Mm-hmm. They would get into a two-man game, and then boom, there's a forward or, you know, either Mikal Bridges or OG Anunoby running at the rim for an inline dunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, straight line dunk. That just can't happen.
Nope.
And that's going to be the thing that you've got to game plan around when you're playing against a five that can shoot the ball.
Yep, for sure. The good news is I know that not a lot of people, you know, love Karl Anthony Towns as a player. Think he's a winning player or something. Super skilled offensively, though, and there's not a lot of fives you're going to deal with that are that good offensively.
No, no. Yeah. I totally agree.
Number four.
Number four, Keegan Murray missed some open looks.
Yeah,
he went 1 of 6 from three. He had 9 points and 2 rebounds. He had a very, very tough game after like an excellent stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need him to be just a smidge more aggressive. But the open looks like spoke to the back to back and the fact that he played 47 minutes, whatever, mm-hmm. the night before.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen sometimes. But since he took the two games off in December because of his ankle, he's shooting roughly right around 39% from three. He's been really, really good. And that's over like a 30-plus game stretch.
Yeah.
So you just need him to settle in and you need more of him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For sure. My biggest thing with Keegan last night is that he didn't finish with 6 shot attempts.
Yeah.
Like that's a little silver lining, but yeah, tough night for sure. Number five.
Keon Ellis was a bright spot. He's always a bright spot, but he was a bright spot. He had 9 points. He had 3 rebounds. He only played 18 minutes. Again, it's the second night of a back-to-back, so I'm not going to crush Doug Christie for playing him 18 minutes, especially when you had Malik Monk, who did not play the night before and hadn't played in a few games and needed to get back on the court. But like this team is better when Keon Ellis plays major minutes. And again, I thought he brought energy. He brought like some joy to the court.
Mm-hmm.
He did get bullied a little bit by some of their, you know, like when he tried to defend some of their power, some of their forwards.
Mm-hmm.
But like, look, that is a very, very different team.
And, for sure.
You know, the one thing I would have had him do early, I would have had him in the game at the 3 or 4 minute mark and tried to turn the faucet off on Deuce McBride, which is what they did later in the game, which is why he 15 in the first quarter and finishes with what? 18,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to belabor the start Keon point. Mostly because I don't know that starting Keon would have helped that much last night. I think they would have gotten blown out regardless of who was starting. But if I want to be petty,
yeah,
that one, it goes in my column.
No, I'm with you.
Column. There are other people with me.
Yeah, you're not alone. And like, look, I think that you got to find a way to get Keon on the court as much as possible. And if you can find a way to start him, if you can have one of these veterans say, hey, look, I will take a step back, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But until you have that moment, it's going to be really tough to do.
No doubt. No doubt. I'm going to keep harping on it, though. Number six.
We had an Isaac Jones sighting.
Yeah, we sure did.
This is really weird. He put up 12 points, 5 rebounds, and he all kinds of hustle. But he hasn't seen the court in months. He's got 8 appearances in 33 games since Doug Christie took over, and he's played a total of 75 minutes. And I don't know what the deal is there, except for Doug probably as a young head coach, a head coach who has not been at the helm before. Doug is focusing on veteran play, and that's what it kind of feels like, that Doug feels more confident with some of these other players. But Isaac Jones, to me, he just brings an element that this team does not have. Like, they kept getting him late in the game in the pick and roll, the two-man game near the rim, and he was just electric. He hit a corner three He gives you versatility on the defensive end that they lack, mm-hmm. especially against a team that, you know, if you're going to go run OG Anunoby out there, who's playing like an NFL fullback and mm-hmm. dropping his shoulder on everybody and just bullying him to the rim, Isaac Jones could have stepped in and played in that moment.
Theoretically, for sure.
He theoretically could have gone out and defended Carl Anthony Towns for minutes, mm-hmm. But they don't have the confidence in him. And I get it, you know, like Trey Lyles has been a reliable player for you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like that dude sure does seem like he needs to play. If it's not nightly, then I would have him in for matchup issues mm-hmm. here and there and find ways to get him on the court.
Yeah, it's strange, but I think you hit the nail on the head with Doug being a first-time head coach. And like, man, you're in this spot where basically every game has a playoff feel now from just a gravity and an urgency standpoint, mm-hmm. where your undrafted rookie is kind of going to go on the back burner. This is not, hey, you know what? Wait, let's see what Isaac's got. Like, no, you got to go win. You're going to, like you said, Trey Lyles, you know, he hasn't been very good this year, but you know, at his best, what Trey Lyles can give you, you have no idea what Isaac Jones is going to give you. And that level of certainty that you have with Trey Lyles, or that confidence you have in Trey Lyles,
mm-hmm.
I think just outweighs an undrafted rookie who you've seen for however many minutes he's played as a pro. It's not very many.
No, it's not. But I definitely, any other year outside of these 3 years right here, I'm so used to a player like Isaac Jones playing the final 20 games of this season and playing 20 minutes a night and developing, because that's who the Kings were for all those years. They're a team that you actually go and give minutes to.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see him developed. And to be honest with you, I look at what they're doing with Devin Carter right now, where they're kind of doing the same thing. They're starting to give him little bits of minutes mm-hmm. here and there. I want to see the same thing with Isaac Jones, because in all honesty, Trey Lyles is a free agent at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And there's a very, very good chance that he won't be back on this team next year. He's not playing well enough that you just say, oh, it's easy. It's,
yeah.
you know, but he does provide spacing. He does provide small ball center minutes, mm-hmm. and he's not erratic, and Isaac is. But at the same time, man, you don't have another rim runner. You don't have another guy who can go above the rim in a pick and roll situation. And he can play the four. So I would at least give him a shot.
Knocked down a three last night?
Yeah, he did knock down a really nice corner three.
I would love to know, and I don't think that anybody would divulge this information to me. But if you were to ask somebody on the coaching staff, I do wonder if it's like, yeah, hey, he does X, Y, and Z in the G League, and we need him to not do those things. And so until he consistently doesn't do those things, he's not going to play consistently.
Well, yeah, but when he goes to the G League, he averages like 27 and
right, 10, right. 12. But maybe it's not about the 27 and 12, and it's the way he defends this, or the way he does this on offense. Like that, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think anybody would divulge that info to me. But I wonder if there's just these little things where they're just like, nope, can't trust it.
I'll ask, because I think I know a couple of people that might actually have that conversation
great.
With
That's
me.
That's what I wanted. I just didn't want you to ask for me. So I was hoping okay. by.
Yeah, great. I would okay, say, good. Like watching him, he's one of their better players in the pick and roll. Like his ability to drop in the pick and roll and defend two players, spectacular.
Yeah,
like there
are a lot of guys that do that. Yeah.
He has some natural instincts that are really, really good.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what he looks like next year.
Yeah, me too, man. And maybe he'll start getting. Maybe last night was one of those Keon Ellis moments. Remember with the Rockets last year, they're getting blown out by the Rockets. Keon Ellis comes in, plays well, and starts to get a little more burn.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what happens here with Isaac Jones on the stretch.
Yeah,
as long as Domas is out, they maybe give him some run. I don't hate it.
No,
like it's not like they're holding on to the sixth seed, and it's like you got to do whatever you can. Like you're in the nine. Like, go try something different.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like, why not?
Yeah. All right. We'll have some NFL free agency updates for you. We've got the handoff coming up at 11:45. And something else. I don't know. Oh, I have an office complaint that I'm going to air out now. He's James. I'm Kyle. That's Joe. We'll be back in a second.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm's over there. I'm Kyle Madsen. No big surprise, the 49ers not giving a restricted free agent tender to linebacker Curtis Robinson. Your thoughts?
I think they non-tendered him, but then signed him to a one-year deal.
Yes, right. Which is the right move. If you tender him, he would have cost a minimum of, it's like $3.4 million or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
and
no
I'm
way.
Sure his one-year deal is much, much less than that. So salute to Curtis Robinson, the 49ers, Walter Payton, Man of the Year nominee. Other NFL free agency stuff, Daniel Jones is going to the Colts on a one-year $14 million deal. What a mess.
Why would you pay him that much?
To get him in the building?
I guess
because you've got a starter on a rookie contract.
Who are you competing with?
I'm sure there were other teams that wanted to sign Daniel Jones.
But for $14 million?
Yeah, I don't know if it's 14 fully. I don't think it's fully guaranteed.
Oh, okay.
But I don't... They've already said it's going to be a full open QB competition.
All right.
Just cut or trade Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, why don't you just sign Gardner Minshew and bring in everybody. James
because
Winston.
They already had Gardner Minshew.
Well, I know. Just bring them all in. Just have like a...
No, I don't... Like, if you're at the point that you're bringing in a quarterback specifically to compete with your rookie quarterback, mm-hmm. You're done with your rookie quarterback. They're hoping he takes some leap, but internally, they're doing that because they're like, hey, you know what? Hey, this is not the dude. Fingers crossed he takes some weird leap.
Isn't he going into his third year?
Yes.
Okay.
Did I say second?
You said rookie.
Oh, sorry. You're third-year quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. But you're young quarterback.
You're quarterback on a rookie contract.
Yeah. Oof.
I don't...
He's tough, man.
Yeah, he's not... I don't know if he's good. I don't think he is. But, like, when you bring in Daniel Jones on this contract for an open quarterback competition, that means you know what you think the outcome's going to be.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones is ostensibly their starter. And they'll try and make the playoffs.
That's wild.
Insane.
That's wild.
Elsewhere, Javon Hargrave and Jonathan Allen, two interior defensive linemen, both signed with the Vikings. The Vikings shelling out big money. They've added a couple of offensive linemen as well. They can do this because they didn't pay Sam Darnold. They can do this because they have J.J. McCarthy waiting in the wings, former number 10 overall pick, University of Michigan legend, national champion who hurt his knee last year, didn't get to play, and now he will be their starting quarterback. When you have a starting quarterback on a rookie deal, you can do things like throw money at Javon Hargrave and Jonathan Allen and a couple of offensive linemen.
Yeah, I mean, they're stacking their interior line on both sides.
Which makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
When you watch how the Eagles won the Super Bowl, if you look and you go, hey, we think J.J. McCarthy's really freaking good. We've got Jordan Addison. T.J. Hockenson's going to be coming back. We've got Justin Jefferson. Re-signed Aaron Jones. We think we can make a run. We're probably going to have to go through the Eagles. What are you going to have to do to combat the Eagles? You got to win in the trenches.
Yeah, but that's you're doing all of that with a unknown completely a quarterback.
Yeah, but you're setting that quarterback up for maximum success.
No, that's true. That's very true. I just like you have no idea what you're going to get out of your quarterback in year one.
Sure,
coming off an ACL tear, a rookie who's never played.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. And, you know, we keep talking about this, like the interior line. Every other team in the league is stacking their interior line. Where mm-hmm. the 49ers cut Hargrave, they cut Malik Collins. They lost Aaron Brooks.
Banks,
yeah, my bad. Aaron Brooks
Shout
was
out
a
Aaron
quarterback.
Brooks. Yeah. Yeah, legend.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm not super worried that they lost Aaron Banks because I think these... pretty replaceable
okay.
with the players they have, and he's going to be a lot cheaper than $77 million over the next 4 years. But this is, I mean, we talked about it earlier. I don't want to belabor the point, but when you're expecting to pay a quarterback top 10-ish money, you're going to have your hands tied a little in free agency. And when you already have a bunch of high-priced players on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
It's an expensive aging roster. They're trying to get younger. And in the process, we'll also get cheaper because draft picks aren't expensive. That's where they're at. I do think, though, that we're going to see the 49ers, the Raiders, who have Geno Smith, at quarterback now on a sizable contract. I think we're at the point of the offseason or the free agency legal negotiating window where we're going to see the 49ers and Raiders getting more involved.
Okay.
Where all of a sudden free agents aren't making top of market money, but their markets are starting to depress a little bit as teams have less money to throw around. This is where I think the good teams or the not the good teams, that wasn't what I was looking for. The teams with expensive quarterbacks are going to try and do the good business thing and get bargain bin free agent who is going to start 17 games for them on the offensive line. And they got him for $4.5 million. Like that's the point of free agency we're heading into.
Yeah.
Where the deals are going to get smaller. And you're going to get a lot of like Javon Holland, the safety for the Dolphins, really good player, got the same money as Talanoa Hufanga. That's shocking to me.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, but when you're at this point, like this is like teams start running out of money or money that they can allocate to resources like that. So the players get cheaper and better value, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, what you're hoping though is that you find a couple of diamonds in the rough. Yeah. I mean, because that's they have to mm-hmm. like at this point, especially like their defense. They have no defensive tackles to speak yeah. of. I mean, their interior line is trashed.
Yep,
and their left guard is what 36.
A left tackle, but
left tackle. That's what yeah. I meant. Left tackle is 36, and their right tackle is no good.
Yeah,
I mean, the draft can bring you a bunch of stuff, but can it fill all of those spots?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it can, but that's going to be tough.
Yeah, no, it can't. If you get three starters in a draft, you're like, wow, yeah. nice. they're not going to be able to do everything, so they're going to have to get active in free agents. They're going to need some in-house players to take leaps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's precarious for sure. I think that 49ers are going to go into this year with a massive question mark over whether they're going to be any good or not.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because there's going to be a lot of unknowns. I do think the Leonard Floyd release is a signal that Joey Bosa could be on the way. Mike Silver reported yesterday that the 49ers and the Dolphins were both offering contracts that came up short of $10 million.
That's crazy.
But the fact that the 49ers are releasing Floyd leads me to believe that they think they have a replacement coming in. And Joey Bosa is, I think, that name. But again, that can't be your only, like, that's a 30-year-old, 30, is he 30? 31?
Bosa?
I think he turns 30. I think he's turning 30. Yeah, that's right. He turns 30 in July.
Yeah.
It's a 30-year-old defensive end who's played 28 games the last 3 years.
Oof.
That can't be your answer.
Nope.
There has to be either another free agent. There has to be multiple draft picks. They got work to do, man, for sure.
Your guy, Nick Wagner, well, our guy here, friend
yeah,
of the
our
show.
Guy, friend of the program, for sure. That's our guy.
Best I can tell, with adding Leonard Floyd and Javon Hargrave post June 1, the Niners are at around 85 plus million in dead money on the 2025 salary cap.
Oof.
It's gone up.
Tough.
That's nice. A lot of dead money.
Yep.
But it also shows you that there's a path forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to get all this out of the way now so they can compete this year. And if you think, I think I said this yesterday, but if you think the 49ers aren't trying to compete for a Super Bowl, again, trying, I don't know that they will. Mm-hmm. They may not. If you think they're not going to try to do that in a year where the Super Bowl is at Levi Stadium, you're insane.
See, that's a crazy thing.
But they're not, like, okay, if they had given, there's no player they've lost that if they had been like, no, we're throwing a bunch of money at that guy, that I'd be like, wow, they're going to the Super Bowl now. If Kyle Juszczyk was still on the roster, I'd have the same exact questions that I have about him. If Aaron Banks was still on the roster, same questions. Dre Greenlaw on the roster, same questions. Talanoa Hufanga, same deal. I got a lot of questions about the 49ers, but it has nothing to do with the fact they've lost a bunch of guys in free agency and they haven't spent a bunch of money in free agency.
That's I kind of like a lot of the moves to trim down, but if you're gonna clear out a bunch of guys that were either injury prone or just not great and not living up to expectations, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you better have a plan.
I do think this is a year where going into the draft, they have 11 picks, right? And they have 8 in the top 150. Typically, when I see the Niners have 11 picks, it's been, oh, hey, you can now trade up and you can package a bunch of those picks and wind up with maybe like a 7-player draft class, but instead of having 8 picks in the top 150, you wind up with 8 in the top 100. Or seven in the top 100 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
7 top 100 picks would be nuts, but you understand. I don't think they're going to do that because I think they want as many dart throws as they can get in this draft. Where, like, it wouldn't shock me at all if they traded back from 11, traded back a couple spots.
Oh, no.
To pick up, like, a day 3 pick.
Yeah.
Or a couple day 3 picks. And just as many chances as you can get to draft an offensive lineman, because maybe you find a George Kittle or a Dre Greenlaw in the 5th round. Maybe you find your next starting left tackle with a random 6th round pick. Like, there's the opportunities are there via the draft. And I think maximizing those opportunities, given where the 49ers are at, like, it's not unlike what the Rams have been doing. The Rams pushed all in to try and win a Super Bowl, and they did. And then they had a bunch of dead money, and they needed to restock their roster with affordable young talent. And so they used a bunch of draft picks. And they said, hopefully some of these guys stick, and a bunch of them have.
Okay, so when do we find out, like, if they got compensatory picks? Are they already there, or we not find out yet?
We don't know for sure, but there's the overthecap.com has a really good handle on the comp pick formula, and his comp pick formula projections lined up with the 49ers comp pick projections. They believed, John Lynch said, that they think they have 10 picks total.
Okay.
And that was before the Debo trade where they picked up another one.
Okay, so it's possible they have 11
picks. Projected 11 picks.
Okay, so what did they get in the Debo?
A fifth.
A fifth. So they
I believe it's a fifth from New Orleans, which is the 148th overall pick.
140th over, okay.
48th.
Okay, so right now we're looking at the 11th pick, the 43rd pick, which is second round, the 75th pick, which is a third round pick, a potential pick number 99 compensatory pick from the third round.
So that they will get.
Okay.
Because that's the expanded Rooney rule, the JC2A, where you get a third round comp pick if you have a minority coach or front office member hired to a head coach or GM role.
No.
That was from the Rand Carthon, D'Amico Ryan's year.
Oh, okay.
Because you get third round picks in the next 3 drafts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they will get that one. That's in there. That's for sure.
And then they have 3 fourth round picks, mm-hmm. 2 of those being compensatory picks.
Yep.
They don't have a fifth, although they picked up
a fifth. They do now have a fifth. It's just not official yet.
They have a sixth, which is 189, and then they have 2 sevenths.
Yes.
Okay, one of which is a compensatory pick.
Yes.
Interesting. You know where I learned that?
Where's that?
Ninerswire.com.
My dog. Let's go.
Ninerswire.com.
Shout out to Ninerswire.com.
This was written by Kyle Madsen.
Yeah, it sure was. That is. Wrote the hell out of that piece.
That's right.
I got to tell you. Yeah, man. Oh, I know what I'm going to ask you this now. I'm going to do 2 things now because if I don't, I'm going to forget.
Okay.
The first thing we're going to do is reset. I'm Kyle. He's James. Joe Brazil is our producer. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and this is The Insiders. Okay, first thing that I will not forget today. We are giving away a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie that you can only get through this giveaway. James Hamm is wearing it right now. It comes in red, blue, and black. I think we still have all the colors. I don't know.
It used to
come in all those colors. You can win that hoodie along with a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate, and it's a nice hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
No expense spared.
No, these the purchase are the best hoodies
the
ever.
Highest quality hoodie that you can get. Go to ESPN1320.com to win this hoodie.
Right now.
And a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Find the Jiffy Lube contest page. And what's our word for last night?
Uh-oh.
Thud.
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 Thud. T-H-U-D.
I was teeing you up, and Joe just walked in, and I
looked
at
him. No, I forgot. I looked at him.
Good work, Joe.
No problem.
Thud. T-H-U-D.
Thud.
Because that is the noise the Kings made last night.
That's right.
Just
bonk.
A face plant. Ugh.
Yeah, so go to Jiffy Lube. I mean, go to ESPN1320.com. Like, click on the contest page. Thud is the word.
Yep. And you'll be entered to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie from our friends at Jiffy Lube that you can only get through this giveaway. The other thing I would like to talk to you about is Kings related. Luke Laux no longer is on the coaching staff.
No.
Friday night, De'Aaron Fox's return to Sacramento was Luke Laux's final game on the Kings bench.
Uh-huh.
And the Kings haven't won since. They haven't won since was a joke. I have had this question on the rundown for 3 days.
Yeah.
How much does his exit matter? Like, what is this something that we're legitimately by April 4th going to be looking at the Kings and going, man, Luke Laux being out has just killed them?
Okay, so I think what this does is it gives an opportunity to other coaches to step up and to have bigger roles.
Got it.
It's by this point in the season, even with Doug taking over midseason, your coaching staff should be a pretty finely oiled machine. Like, you have specific guys who are going through and doing the scouting report on upcoming games. That gets sent to Doug. Doug digests what that is. He has a conversation about game plan and everything with his group of coaches. This is it's an interesting one, though, because I think, in all honesty, Luke was a very intriguing or interesting or questionable defensive coordinator pick by Mike Brown. He was never known as a defensive coach. This was his first year doing defensive coordinator stuff for the Kings or for anyone. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that Luke isn't a good coach. He's a smart, good, up-and-coming young coach who has now taken over the Florida State Seminoles, his alma mater, right? Mm-hmm. He's also from Florida. He met his wife at Florida State. They're Floridians. They're going home. So this is a good
Florida
thing.
Florida man goes home.
Yeah, this is a good thing for Luke and his family to go home, right? But at the same time, it creates an issue for Doug where he's got to fill up the front of the bench. And it's not just one coach said he's down. He's down mm-hmm. two coaches, two front of the bench coaches. And, you know, the first one, of course, is himself.
Ah.
Because when Mike Brown left,
right,
it moved up to the right. head coaching job, and they didn't replace him there.
Mm-hmm.
Leandro Barbosa is close with Doug. They worked together with Domas over the last couple of mm-hmm. years and would have been a natural fit to move up to the front of the bench. And I do believe it's part of the plan to move him to the front of the bench. But Barbosa tore his quad and has undergone Ooh. Surgery and has been limping around for the last month.
The assistant coach tore his quad.
Yeah, and I don't Ooh. Know when it happened or how, because I thought it was an ACL or something, but it's not. He did some damage to his quad or his hamstring. Either way, he's been I don't think he can be on the front of the bench. He has a full leg brace.
Yeah.
And then Jim Moran is the other one who's taken a major leap forward, front of the bench assistant, maybe even the number one assistant at this point. And talk about a fun loving cool dude. Absolutely enjoy him. He is a very, very cool up and coming coach, big dude. Last year he ran Portland's G League squad and sort of an up and coming guy as sure. well.
So Luke Laux leaving, we're not going to see any effect on the Kings.
I mean, it can have some effect, sure. One effect is I think Doug Christie is absolutely exhausted right now. Yeah. Like, if you've seen him last couple of post games, he's been a little snippy. I think Doug hasn't slept in a month and a half, and he needs this 2 days as much as his players do. Yeah. It's just more hands on deck when you have a full coaching staff. And right now they're down a couple of guys, but, you know, get opportunities for some of the other guys.
Tell them to give me a call. I'll come hang out. I got thoughts. I got takes.
Yeah.
All right. We got the handoff coming up. One of D'Lo or Casey. I'm not sure which one. They'll be in with us next. That's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil. Pushing buttons. We're back in a second on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Do you know what's coming up on Thursday?
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, the Employee Appreciation Brunch is happening on Thursday.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool thing. The managers all, they bring in a bunch of breakfast foods, and the managers all gather around and they cook it for us.
Mm-hmm.
The employee appreciation brunch happens from 11 a.m. to noon, which is in the middle of our show.
This happened last year.
But it didn't it happen early? Like last year, it started right before our show. So we got food and we got to bring it in.
Actually, no. What happened last year, I'm not mistaken, is that either Damien or Kenny, or both Damien and Kenny, came in and took over for us and let us go eat for a few minutes, and then we came back.
Is that what happened?
I believe that's what happened.
I don't know.
We'll ask Kenny. Kenny's here.
I'm furious, though.
You're furious.
I feel unappreciated.
They could have done it from like 11:30 to 12:30, so then that way we could participate.
Right.
I don't know. It's just arbitrary numbers.
Instead, they go, no, 11, to hell with Kyle and James. That's what they said.
I mean, the worst part is it's managers who actually know the radio station schedules.
You'd hope so.
You would, well, at least you would think
I'm
that
boycotting.
You're boycotting?
If they try and come in here like, oh, we brought you, like, no.
If there's bacon, I'm not boycotting. I gotta be
fold. Ah,
I'm gonna fold.
Nah.
If I smell bacon.
Yeah, they're cooking bacon.
I see bacon. Yeah. I'm going over there, Kyle. Right. That's it.
You might have got me.
My last name might be Ham, but I don't care. I'm eating bacon.
Hang on, I haven't done the thing yet.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's KC, Kenny Caraway.
Yeah, here he is. Kenny Caraway, D-Lo and KC coming up next.
Usually I don't mess with that. I let Kyle do it. I don't know if he's supposed to be on or not. So I don't know. I just let my mans do it. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
James, oh, like sorry, the mic wasn't on, but I was like, I don't know. I don't want to overstep.
Dude, the minute you walk in, you could, if you heard us say something at 10:04 and you wanted to get here at 10:15 and jump in and talk about it, you can.
Well, you know, I'm trying.
You guys are always welcome.
I don't want to step on the toes of the boss. He's controlling the board. He's the boss.
That's wrong. Joe Brazil's controlling
well,
the board.
Well, he's the boss.
He's the boss now.
Joe could just turn the mic off
he
right
could.
Now. What's up, Joe? What's up? What are we talking about?
The employee appreciation brunch that happens in the middle of our radio program. Our show ends and they're like, oh, nope, brunch over. Interesting how that
it's
happens.
Usually during their show.
So here's the funny thing. Look, man. Hey, look, everybody, you know, you don't have to center this around good old KC or even good old Kyle or even good old James here in this situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do these things. And like I said, it's all good. It was like 9 o'clock. Do you know where I live? Do you know like where I gotta?
All right,
where
well,
I have to come
I'm
from
gonna,
to get
stop
here at
right
9 a.m.
I'm gonna
and
stop
then I'm a,
right
and then
now.
I'm a just, and okay. You know when I leave? Okay. So you want me to be here from 9 to 6?
I've been on the road for an hour by the time I get to where you live.
I'm saying you are the same in the same boat. They just be because they all live around here, right? So they'd be like, oh yeah, 9 o'clock, and then these are my people. Then they be leaving at like 11. So like, oh yeah, 12. You know, so it's like, oh yeah, I'll get here an hour earlier because you know I'm only gonna be here till 12. For some eggs Benedict, I'm not coming here at 9 a.m.
They ain't making eggs Benedict, but they'll make breakfast. But I don't think they're making eggs Benedict.
And I also understand it's breakfast. So like I said, you guys do what you got to do.
Well, it's 11. It's at 11 a.m. this year.
It's 11 at noon.
No, I mean, you'll be here.
I might come here at 11.
You don't have to get here right at 11.
Kenny never once said no to a snack.
That's facts.
I know. If there's food out there, if there's bacon out there.
I mean, yeah, I'm
yeah, that's
some bacon.
True. If they pull up with the plate, if it was like, hey, here's some pancakes, I'd be like, nah, get those out of my face. If they roll up, they're like, hey, here's some bacon.
I love pancakes. But see, here's the thing. This
I'm
is
talking
awesome.
About trying to eat on like.
Well, while that's I'm doing that, exactly that's here. The whole thing. So that's why you see snacks more often because like if they have something where you gotta like use a fork and stuff like that. Like I want to enjoy my food. I don't want to rush slip to the side. Eat.
Yeah. No, it's
I ain't
the worst.
Trying to do all that. So just give me some bacon or a cookie or something like that.
For sure. You can tell all the.
I do love Odyssey though. I love it here. We joke about
same.
It, but it's all
yeah. Right. I'm doing a bit for the radio. Yeah, it's super cool that the managers spend their time cooking food for us. That's
an
incredible thing.
We're
very lucky.
We have a good time.
I in case I wasn't clear. they can do it anytime and it's very nice. We have a break. We can jump out and get some food. You can tell how the Kings game went last night based on the nature of our conversation.
Woo. That was tough. That was tough, man. I worried about
fired up for your Knicks though.
not fired up. They kind of, you know, those are my boys. Those are my boys. Never above the
Kings. Big New York guy.
But those are my boys.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't. Jalen Brunson's out for a little while. I had them going to the NBA Finals at the beginning of the season. I don't know, man. I don't like the way I've seen them against Boston and Cleveland. So, I can't put them there. But, you know, I was worried about the Kings after that game on Sunday because that was a gut punch.
Yeah.
And typically, you know, you would like, hey, no excuses, get back at it next day, just figure it out. But that one felt like that's not one you just recover from in 24 hours.
Yep.
You know, the way they lost that game, the significance of that game, that and they I'm not breaking news, but they went after it. Like they tried everything in their power to win that game on Sunday and to lose, not just lose, but lose the way they did. And say 24 hours later,
I almost
gear back up and win again. I was like, it's
I almost,
tough.
I almost feel like they would have had a better shot because I tend to agree with you. I thought that maybe having to just like get on a flight and get back on the court and play would be helpful. I think that might have been the case if they had lost in overtime, but lost by like seven. Like, man, they just missed a couple of threes and Harden hit one and Kawhi hit one. And man, you know what? Hey, they kind of let it get away in OT. Yeah. To lose the exact way they did, where they played great defense on Kawhi on the last possession and the ball just didn't bounce their way, quite literally just didn't bounce their way, that's one where you just go,
yeah.
I think in addition to it,
what do we have to do better?
You have to look at what that game meant, not just in the overall standings, but the fact that you lost the season series to the Clippers. You still had one more game against the Clippers that you could have tied the season series. So not only did you drop two games back of the Clippers for the seventh spot, but you lost to them. And so now you have to finish above them in the standings. The way that it, you know, again, the ball bounces at the end, it's heartbreaking, but I think the emotional toll was as much as the physical toll that it took on them. And then to see them last night, just like they didn't have it from the opening jump.
From
like,
I can't remember the last time I watched a Kings game, and even under Mike Brown, we're just like opening tip. Maybe it was the Indiana game actually. We're just right away. You went, oh, they are super not winning tonight.
Also a back to back too, I think. Saturday, Sunday, yeah, they lost that heartbreaker to the Lakers when they couldn't get the rebound on a Saturday afternoon. Came back the next day and played Indiana.
That's right.
So, I agree with both you guys. And you know, and then also shout out to the Knicks. They it felt like every time they needed to make a shot to either stop it from getting to 10, from 10 to 8, or, hey, this will take it from 12 to 15, they hit nothing but net. Like everybody, Ananobi, McBride, Mikal, they – Cat got involved later in the game. They hit every shot they needed to, and they played with the desperation of we got a rough West Coast road trip. We're out without Jalen Brunson. We got to get one. This is the one we got to get.
Yep,
this is the one, and they executed. They handled business, man. Mm-hmm. So when I talk about somebody, I mentioned it yesterday on the show, and somebody tweeted to me and was like, "You're right, KC. You could see this thing spiraling after that loss." Well, no, I don't. When I say that, they're not going to spiral for the season. I think they'll be fine, and standing wise, they'll be fine too. Mm-hmm. But this feels like something that might take 4 days to a week to get back on your feet.
See, I think there's a really good chance. I don't know if they win on Thursday. I think there's a chance they bounce back and play really well.
Yeah, I can see that. At
like they've gotten a couple days, and they've got – because that seems to happen. We've seen a couple of times where it looks like they're starting to let go of the rope a little bit. Like, this might be they lose 8 of 10, and then they regroup. Whether it's Doug yelling at the starters after the Golden State game in the – game after the break. And okay, they regroup and they rally. I think that's kind of because Doug kept saying after the game last night, as James pointed out, like that's not us, and it's like it's not. That poor performance is not consistent with what we've seen from them in the Doug Christie era.
Yeah,
no, not at all.
I don't think we see another one.
Yeah.
At least not anytime soon.
No, and like I said, I think they'll be fine. You know, I was looking at the standings coming in.
3.5 back of the sixth seed right now.
3.5 back of the sixth seed, but I think they're kind of locked into a play-in situation, in my opinion. They don't have to worry about
falling
out.
It would be a calamity.
It'd have to be a calamity, and those other teams would have to start winning basketball games.
The Suns lost a full game on the 10 seed last night.
Just when I started to be like, oh, maybe so, that they lose to Memphis. And they don't have no easy games for the last 15, 16.
Oh, their strength of schedule is the worst in the NBA. Yes. This Kings is second worst, but man, that strength of schedule for Phoenix is just like off the charts.
I really hope, you know, maybe the Kings stay there at 9 in a sneaky way. They're only up a game on 10, but stay there at 9. Mm-hmm. Phoenix doesn't figure it out. Dallas finds a way to just keep their head above water. I'd love to play Dallas in 9-8 or 9-10. I'd love to. Mm. Please.
Why wouldn't you want to get up to 8?
I don't think you can.
Oh, you think they're
stuck at
9?
I don't think they're done, but I'm just it's tough. It's tough. They got to cover 3 games.
Yeah. Because you have to clear the Clippers.
Their schedule is about to get real easy. Mm. So.
Yeah, and you got to leapfrog the Clippers. That's the biggest thing.
What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and KC?
More of this calamity yesterday at the Golden One Center.
Is that the word of the day?
Calamity.
Did you guys say that?
I just said it just now.
Oh, well, that's why it was in my head.
Yeah, nice. Oh, yeah. All right, D'Lo and KC will not be a calamity. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's coming up next. For James Hamm and Joe Brazil, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're back with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water. Be nice to people. See ya.